Hey folks, I'm here today to tell you about Visible. Something unfortunate about wireless services, what you see isn't always what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. No perception check required. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon for just $25 a month, taxes and fees included. If you're looking for a carrier that is upfront with no hidden fees, then go to Visible.com to make the switch. You don't need more than one line of wireless to save, and you're going to be getting unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Visible is the wireless carrier that's constantly operating from a zone of truth. In their quest for total transparency, Visible wants you to know the monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com. Save on wireless without the hassle. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com.
Greetings, adventurers. Today we're excited to introduce you to a new story. Dark Dice, a horror podcast that blurs the line between actual play and audio drama, where the story is determined by the roll of the dice. Six adventurers embark on a journey into the ruinous domain of the Nameless God. They will never be the same again. One of the players is not what they seem after a doppelganger, a creature that can assume the form and voice of whatever it kills, infiltrates the team. As the players are picked off and replaced one at a time, can they figure out who the monster is before it's too late? Can you? Here's a quick example of what our show sounds like.
The shambler with the jar of liquid inside of him.
Soren Arkwright let loose an arrow that cracked the glass, passing through the spine of the creature. The shambler still managed to maintain its forward momentum, but stumbled as it eagerly tried to bite and swipe at Soren, landing near his feet.
As Jeff Goldblum has now joined our cast, Dark Dice is available however you listen to podcasts.
Hey everybody, welcome to the Dungeon Cast. I'm Brian.
And I'm William.
This is the podcast where we talk about everything tabletop role-playing games.
And today we are talking about 9 ridiculous magic items of D&D. 1, 2, 3, 4. Shout out to
you, welcome adventurers to the Dungeon Cast.
Hey Brian.
Hey Will.
How you doing, man?
It's the end of the year. You told me so before we started.
It is, and I did.
And it is the end of the year, like in the calendar, in the realm.
True.
The calendar plane.
Let's see, we're recording this on December 17th. You're probably going to be hearing it on the 25th.
On Crima.
What?
On Crima Day.
That is on Christmas Day. Holy crap, you're right.
Yep.
The 25th.
I'm staying up late tonight to make sure I don't have work to do that day.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And then if you're on YouTube, this is actually next year, and I'm sorry about the timing.
Yeah.
But what?
Just the way it is right now.
What a year it has been.
Indeed.
The Year of the Artifact has been a very different year compared to some of our previous themes, such as Year of the Fiend or Year of the Giant.
Indeed.
A lot of dick jokes at the front end.
Indeed.
The Orcus's Wand episode into the Rod of Seven Parts and Legendary Staves, Rods, and Wands episodes might have been a questionable move in hindsight.
Indeed.
You sound like me. Also, a lot of fiends at the front end encroaching on their previous year of focus. Also, the patrons voting into Demon Lords exacerbated the fiend issue.
Indeed.
We love fiends over here.
It's true.
Yeah. Well, it may have taken the entire Year of the Artifact to finally hit our stride with the theme, but sadly, the end is nigh. But it is not upon us quite yet, so let us crack open a few more item
Dick
stat
jokes.
Blocks. Nope. A few more item stat blocks and go out with a bit of a bang in the Year of the Artifact. Today, we're covering 9 ridiculous magic items. So these aren't necessarily going to be gag items or anything like that. Some might qualify as gag items, but I've chosen 9 items that I deem to be fun, interesting, unique, and at least a little bit quirky. These are all items I would consider introducing in an ongoing campaign to spice up the level of fun, or in some cases, let the campaign careen off the rails into the unknown. So before we dive into it, did you have anything you wanted to add?
Just that let's I do think we should crack open a few more. Let's cram in these dick jokes in the rear end too.
Oh no.
Yeah.
All right, let's get into it. First item, the bag of tricks.
Okay.
So first up is the bag of tricks. A bag of tricks is a magic item that can materialize a variety of friendly animals. Most bags of tricks resemble ordinary bags made of cloth or leather, sometimes stitched with animal designs or basic but colorful patterns. There are typically 3 varieties, depending on the color of the cloth used. There are gray, rust, and tan bags of tricks.
Okay.
By reaching inside a bag of tricks, which always appear empty on sight, the user will find and pull out a small fuzzy object. Mm-hmm. This fuzzy object seems to be nondescript. I could not find a description in any bag of tricks stat block across all five editions. So I like to picture the little balls of fur similar to gremlins from the movie Gremlin when they're born. You know,
yeah,
when
not the water? After midnight ones, the initial one, right?
Well, no, the after midnight ones. So they get
the crazy nasty ones.
Well, they don't turn; they're not nasty at first. That's the thing. Is when they pop off.
That's what I mean. You feed them after midnight; they become the nasty ones.
You're right.
You mean the one before midnight?
Yes, the before midnight ones. You're absolutely right. So what's the name? Mogwai. What's the name of the original? The one
that sounds familiar. Dude, I haven't watched Gremlins.
I know,
since
it's been a while.
Kid.
Well, anyways, they get them the first one, the initial one, wet, and then a bunch of little balls of fur, these little wiggling fur balls.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
That's what I picture you pull out of the bag of tricks.
Okay. There's that old Star Trek episode where the ship fills up with the fluffy balls.
I forgot about that one. Yeah, we could use
that
for
our even
too.
Older audience.
Yes, absolutely.
And then for you Gen Zers out there, I know you're on the audio waves with us every once in a while, but like, dude, I don't got it. I don't got it for you.
Yeah, I don't either. I'm sorry.
I did not have a culture reference that is going to land with you because Gremlins ain't it.
Gremlins ain't it. You'd be surprised. I have a, my daughter has a cousin who is same age as her, 9-10 years old, and he's super into old school Digimon and Gremlins.
Hey, you like what you like.
You like what you like.
I'm sure that to be fair, that sounds like an exception, like a niche case.
Hey, man, I don't know. We don't know.
Okay, I will ask my Gen Z friends if they know what Gremlins is real
To be
quick.
Fair, he's 9, so he's not Gen Z. He's whatever the next generation after Gen Z is.
Gen A.
Yeah, there we go.
I love you, Gen A. God, that was a weird joke. Let's keep going.
When throwing this object, it will transform into an animal with a friendly disposition towards the one who pulled it, as well as their companions. Mm-hmm. And that's all I have on the bag of tricks. Not a lot there.
Shall I go to the bag of tricks?
You shall.
Read
Thank
to you.
You
its glory.
Yes,
and splendor.
Please do. I also will take a look, but I'll let you read.
It's a wondrous item, Will.
It is. It is quite wondrous.
As you clearly pointed out in your description of it.
Indeed.
This ordinary bag, made from gray rust or tan cloth, appears empty. Reaching inside the bag, however, reveals the presence of a small fuzzy object. The bag weighs 0.5 pound or whatever the equivalent. Damn it. I said I was going to. Next year, I'm going to go look at these stat blocks ahead of time, and I'm going to get the conversions for you.
I think it's roughly a kilogram if it's 0.5 pound. Roughly. Mm. It'll be like 1.1 kilograms. I'm going to check, but you go ahead.
You can give them a smooth calculation instead of a rough one.
Mm-hmm,
nice. You can use an action to pull the fuzzy object from the bag and throw it up to 20 feet. That's like fucking what?
Oh, I had it backwards. It's 0.22 kilograms. Sorry,
hey, can you convert 20 feet to meters?
Okay, I'll do it.
When the object lands, and can you say the result in a transatlantic radio announcer guy's voice?
I will do my best.
Okay. You know how to do that voice.
I do.
Your
I
announcer
do
voice.
How many meters? 20?
Yeah.
That's 6.096 meters.
Yeah, there you go. Okay. It transforms into a creature you determine by rolling a d8. Can you convert the d8 to... I'm just kidding.
Roman numerology.
I'm going to start that sentence over. When the object lands, it transforms into a creature you determine by rolling a d8 and consulting the table that corresponds to the bag's color. See the monster listings for the creature's statistics. The creature vanishes at the next dawn or when it is reduced to 0 hit points. The creature is friendly to you and your companions, and it acts on your turn. You can use a bonus action to command how the creature moves and what action it makes on its next turn, or give it general orders, such as to attack your enemies. In the absence of such orders, the creature acts in a fashion appropriate to its nature. That's much like the Beastmaster Ranger rules. Mm-hmm. Once 3 fuzzy objects have been pulled from the bag can't be used again until the next dawn. Would you like to roll a creature? I saw you get.
I will. There's 3 different bags. Mm-hmm. Thank you. Real quick about the Beastmaster Ranger. In this case, I think it's kind of cool that they mention acts within its nature because it also establishes that they're friendly. So if you're getting attacked by something, they should attack on their own.
Right.
But anyways, this is actually a D10. Do you have a real D8?
Oh, yes.
It was just the only die on hand.
You heard it here first, folks. A D10 is a fake D8. Here you go.
All right. So if this was a gray bag of tricks and I pulled out a fuzzy, I would get a giant elk, bro.
That's
hell
pretty cool.
Yes.
Hell yeah. Banana bread at work today, dude. I'm going to roll the rest back.
Oh, yeah.
Excuse
please
me.
Do,
I'm going to roll the rest back because I want to get in on this.
What do you got? You got a five.
Giant goat. Oh, I love goats. They always come up in my games and on the show.
And they get killed on this show.
A lot. Real bad.
All right. I will roll for the tan bag of tricks. What do I pull? Oh, another eight. A fucking tiger, bro.
Double eights. Nice.
Yeah, a tiger and a giant elk and
let's
a
see what
giant
you
goat.
Is there anything cooler than the giant elk for the first bag? A panther is cool.
Direwolf's not bad.
Direwolf's
not
bad.
Good.
I would have been mad with a giant rat.
Yeah, that's weasel's worse, but yeah.
Panther's cool.
Giant badger.
Like,
giant.
I am Drizzt Duwarden.
Yeah, honestly, the top half, panther, giant badger, direwolf, and giant elk are the clear winners for that bag. What about this next bag?
For I think brown bear would have been cool. The eight is definitely probably the coolest, most best one.
Lion's pretty solid, though. Lion's pretty solid.
Honestly, I think I got the one I want.
I think so, too. Giant goat wins.
Giant goat is pretty cool.
And
big hag energy.
The tan, we have tiger, giant hyena, giant weasel, black bear. Axe beak would be kind of fun. Yeah, I think we rolled exceptionally well, man.
I just got invited to a D&D game right now.
Did you?
I did. It's crazy.
Who's DMing?
I don't know. Somebody that's a fan of the show, though, so shout out to you.
Oh, but, nice.
Yeah, they like learn the game through the show.
Oh, for
and
sure.
And now they want to hang out.
Okay, okay.
But it's a guy that plays with me, and he's like, hey, my DM says
gotcha.
You can come over if you want. And I'm like, oh, if you only knew I was recording the show right now.
That's cool.
I thought that would be... Normally, I don't like look at my phone, but I saw it come in. I was like, hey, it says something about D&D.
Nice.
I thought that'd be fun to get on mic. Yeah. Black bear, tiger. What's an axe beak? Like, it's a bird, right?
Yeah, it's like an emu, but with like an axe for a beak.
Oh, hell yeah.
Yeah.
It's a fucking chocobo.
Yeah, there we go. It's more like a chocobo. Yes, definitely.
Yeah, it's beak.
I was thinking real world analog.
True, yeah. This beak does look, depending on its art style, more axe-like in some styles than others,
right.
But
exactly
axe-like enough. Mm-hmm. It's a raptor.
Yes, it's a raptor.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a velociraptor.
All right, let's move on.
Let's do it. The deck of illusions.
So we got a deck of cards up next, but it isn't the deck of many things. It's the deck of many things, maybe. Yeah. It's a deck of illusions. A deck of illusions is a set of parchment cards, usually found in an ivory, leather, or wooden box. A full deck has 34 cards.
Okay.
When a card is drawn at random and thrown to the ground, an illusion with audible and visual components is formed. This usually takes the form of some sort of creature, but it depends on what's on the card. By the way, the deck family of D&D is quite extensive these days. There's also the deck of dimensions, the deck of miscellany, the deck of several things, the deck of oracles, the deck of wonder, the fate dealer's deck, and the deck of wild cards.
Because I run a deck of many things campaign right now, and I was saying like, oh, the deck of several stuffs. But I was like, oh, that's just a funny like thing I do sometimes. But there's an actual deck of several things, and I learned that before this. But like, it's like, oh, I should stop saying that.
I mean, it works. That's all I got on the deck of illusions. Like, mechanically, is kind of where most of the meat is. So let's take a look at it.
Let's do it. I'm gonna go look at the meat. All right, we got the deck of illusions. It's also wondrous. It's a submarine of Qualish.
Oh, that's always the default image for this.
I always enjoy seeing it. I told those same players I run the campaign with. Sometimes I generate magic items for them, and like a lot of the time, it's a submarine. I'm like, man, it's Mr. Krabs. okay, so this box contains a set of parchment cards. A full deck has 34 cards. A deck found as treasure is usually missing one D20 cards. Okay, let's do that now.
Okay.
I'm going to roll. I'm missing 13 cards.
Okay, so there are 21
one
cards. Yeah.
The magic of the deck functions only if cards are drawn at random. You can use an altered deck of playing cards to simulate the deck. You can use an action to draw a card at random from the deck and throw it to the ground at a point within 30 feet of you. Throwing a card 30 feet sounds impressive.
Yeah.
An illusion of one or more creatures forms over the thrown card and remains until dispelled. An illusory creature appears real of the appropriate size and behaves as if it were a real creature, except that it can do no harm.
Mm-hmm.
While you are within 120 feet of the illusory creature and can see it, you can use an action to move it magically anywhere within 30 feet of this card.
Ooh, nice.
Of its card.
Yeah.
Any physical interaction with the illusory creature reveals it to be an illusion because objects pass through it. Someone who uses an action to visually inspect the creature identifies it as illusory with successful DC 15 investigation check, intelligence. The creature then appears translucent. The creature lasts until its card is moved or the illusion is dispelled. When the illusion ends, the image on the card disappears and that card can't be used again. There's a lot of cool cards here. So it does convert like your playing cards.
Yeah, it does.
To your normal standard bicycle deck. I'll just kind of rapid fire through the illusions.
Like, sure, yeah. I mean, the first one's a strong one.
Yeah, Red Dragon, Knight, and Four Guards.
That's a strong one, too.
Succubus or Incubus, Druid, Cloud Giant, Etten, Bugbear, Goblin, Beholder, Archmage, and Mage Apprentice. That's interesting. You make like fucking Vecna appear as an illusion with
I don't know if you can be specific.
That would be fun.
That would be fun.
Night Hag, Assassin, Fire Giant, Ogre Mage, Gnoll.
So the worst thing you can get
like a specific...
is a kobold is the worst thing that you can draw on accident. Because I think if you're drawing a card from this, it's because you want to ward someone off or scare them.
Uh-huh.
And obviously there could be way more creative uses, but the kobold has to be the most boring, weak, and less intimidating. And it's a two of clubs. That or you, if you suck, you could draw yourself at the very end there.
Oh, make
the
like
deck's
a
owner.
You could make like a duplicate of yourself to run around.
Yeah,
that's
but
cool.
You can't control it because it has to be random. So,
but it'll act within its nature. Was that? That was the last thing.
Yeah, it'll act within its nature.
Interesting. Okay, well, that's an interesting item for sure.
Yeah, I think it could be a fun one, especially to give to like a character who likes to like do things in either a chaotic or off the wall way.
I was going to say mildly chaotic.
Like
for
I would
sure.
give this to you in Super Quest Saga.
Okay, yeah, sounds cool.
Definitely. All right. Anything you want to add about the deck of illusions?
No, it seems pretty straightforward.
Because we're about to get crazy.
I want to get crazy. Can we do the next thing?
We can do the next thing.
Okay.
The Mizium apparatus. Mm-hmm. So now we venture back to Ravnica, specifically to the laboratories of the infamous Izzet League. We haven't done a Ravnica episode on this show, but it is a Magic the Gathering setting based in a world completely controlled by 10 powerful guilds, the Izzet League being one of the 10. The Izzet are obsessive experimenters, combining a keen creative intellect with a short attention span. The original mandate of the Izzet Guild was to provide solutions for public works projects, sewers, boilers, and roadways, but their increasingly far-fetched experiments satisfy only their insatiable curiosity. Sometimes their experiments yield useful technological advancements, other times they produce unintended mana geysers, spatial rifts, arcane portals, or huge explosions, all of which can be useful in their own way. The League's most grandiose experiments typically concern public works projects and elemental experimentation. These efforts use a methodology that relies on unexpected outcomes. All results are informative, even if they completely defy expectations. For example, an experiment that begins as the creation of a hypermana focusing lens might be renamed a scram range teleportal once the researchers discover more properties of what they have fashioned. Then, after a few goblin volunteers vanish inside it, the apparatus gains the designation of Universal Refuse Disintegrator.
Okay.
Until the goblin volunteers are discovered alive, having been teleported far from the workshop. This sort of adjustment is par for the course in Izzet experiments. The fiddle and find out method
okay.
is favored over any process of systematic scientific research.
If you won't say it, I will. Fuck.
Around.
Fuck around and find out.
Yeah.
That's much better.
I kind of like fiddle, find out. But. Yeah.
Fiddle about and find out.
The Izzet League is one of the few guilds whose founder, the dragon Niv-Mizzet, remains its guildmaster. Just as the guild continues to fulfill its original mission, even as its experiments go far beyond the guild's original mandate. And this item is probably their greatest creation. Innovation is a dangerous pursuit, at least the way the mages of the Izzet League engage in it. As protection against the risk of an experiment going awry, they have developed a device to help channel and control their magic. This apparatus is a collection of leather straps, flexible tubing, glass cylinders, and plates, bracers, and fittings made from a magic-infused metal alloy called Mizium. all assembled into a harness. The item weighs 8 pounds. While you are wearing the Mizium apparatus, you can use it as an arcane focus. The primary use of the Mizium apparatus is the wearer can use it to attempt to cast spells they neither have prepared or even know. If you multiclass in every spellcasting class, you can have access to something like 239 plus spells.
Oh my gosh.
Tell me about the Mizium apparatus, Brad.
I will tell you even more, apparently, about this thing. So you expend a spell slot to cast the spell as normal, but before resolving it, you must make an intelligence arcana check. The DC is 10 plus twice the level of the spell slot you expend to cast the spell. On a successful check, you cast the spell as normal, using your spell save DC and spell casting ability modifier. On a failed check, you cast a different spell from the one you intended. Randomly determine the spell you cast by rolling on the table for the level of the spell slot you expended. If the slot is 6th level or higher, roll on the table for 5th level spells. If you try to cast a cantrip you don't know, the DC for the intelligence arcana check is 10. On a failed check, there is no effect. 1st level spells are going to be Burning Hands, Chaos Bolt, Color Spray, Fairy Fire, Fog Cloud, Thunder Wave. You roll a D6 for that. You're going to roll a D6 for all these. 2nd level spell, Blur, Gust of Wind, Heat Metal, Melf's Acid Arrow, Scorching Ray, and Shatter. I love Shatter. 3rd level spells, Fear, Feign Death, Fireball, Gaseous Form, Sleet Storm, Stinking Cloud. There's the best spell in the game, Fireball. These gas and stink clouds will show up in the ethereal plane, though.
I know that now. Well, not all of them will. The smell won't translate. It's sight and hearing. Well, so shatter.
And poison. And poison clouds.
Yeah, I guess it does, right? So why? Okay, I feel like I'm asking the same question again. Why is the fact that Gorgon breath?
Yeah, we did this.
Why is it special?
I don't know.
When all gases will do it. Anyways, sorry, we have done this. Move on.
Okay, 4th level spells, confusion. Oh, this is a D4. So now we're in the D4s. Confusion, conjure minor elementals, Evard's black tentacles, ice storm.
I like ice storm.
Ice storm is a cool spell.
Yeah.
5th level spells, animate object, cloud kill, cone of cold, and flame strike. Cone of cold, pretty good. Yeah. Like ice storm.
And flame strike's pretty good if you're a cleric.
I don't really know that one, but it sounds great.
It's a less good fireball, and if you're a cleric and you're not the light cleric, it's your best option for a fireball.
Okay. I mean, fireball's in here though, so.
Yeah, I'm just saying, if you're a cleric who doesn't have the Mizium apparatus,
let me just upcast fireball to 5th level. Okay, well, that was the Mizium apparatus.
Yeah, what do you think?
The image is cool. It's like this dude's got like a cannon on his arm.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
That's pretty much it. It's got like, you know, he's wearing like a Ghostbusters thing on his back.
Okay. Yeah, Ravnica is an interesting sci-fi kind of spin on fantasy.
I bet casting spells make this guy feel good.
I bet they do. Moving on. Mm-hmm. Next, we have a more classical item, a sword. Sword of the Plains, this one's called.
Okay.
Not a lot of lore on this sword, which just came out in the Book of Many Things, save for the fact that this sword can tear the fabric of reality, creating a temporary rift between planes. So I'm just going to describe the physical depiction provided for us, as it is a very good-looking sword.
Mm-hmm.
That being said, this weapon can come in the form of any sword, including a greatsword, longsword, scimitar, short sword, rapier, and double-bladed scimitar.
Sick.
So the Sword of the Plains is a long steel blade protruding from an ornate golden cross guard, depicting the face and unfurled wing of an angel on one side and a devil on the other. The hilt of the sword looks to be a white marble enamel with golden ringlets decorating it. Tell me about the Sword of the Plains, Brian.
That's a cool description. Sword of the Plains is a weapon, any sword, like you said. Legendary, requires attunement. You gain a +3 bonus to attack and damage rolls made with this magic sword. This sword can tear the fabric of reality, creating a temporary rift between planes. You can use your action to choose a different plane of existence from the one you're on and slice through an unoccupied space within 5 feet of yourself, creating a rift to that other plane. That's like 1.5 meters, right? The rift can be up to 10 feet. That's like 3 meters, right? And 10 feet wide, 10 feet high, 10 feet wide. And it lasts for 1 minute. What do they use? How do they convert minutes to metric?
They do.
How many times am I going to do this joke? Anyway, once this property is used, it can't be used again until the next dawn. You can specify a target destination, such as the City of Brass on the Elemental Plane of Fire or the Palace of Despater on the 2nd level second layer of the Nine Hells, and the rift opens in or near that destination, DM's discretion.
Yeah, I'm sorry, you're not opening a portal directly into the Palace of Despater. He's definitely wards against that.
Yeah, you can't. Yeah.
Can you imagine if anyone could just get one of these swords and fucking show up?
Maybe you got a really cool one and that's where you want people to be.
Yeah, or maybe it's the only sword in existence that can do this and it's locked away in one of Mephistopheles' vaults. And
Good luck breaking into that to get, like an angel coming down and handing you this thing like, go do a deed for me, I can't go to hell.
I made this joke sword, it's really cool.
God will get mad if I go to hell, you got to do it.
Zariel, is that you?
Okay. Where was I? If you're trying to reach the City of Brass, for example, the rift might appear on the Street of Steel before the Gate of Ashes or facing the city from across the Sea of Fire at the DM's discretion. So, you know, whatever you want.
Yeah.
Anything that enters the rift is instantly transported to the other plane, appearing in unoccupied space nearest to the rift. Applicable weapons, great sword, long sword, rapier, scimitar, short sword, double bladed scimitar. And that's the whole thing.
If you got the Sword of Planes, where's the first place you're going?
Your mom's house. I'm just kidding. I'm already on the material plane. No, I would go to... That's a good one, man. I don't really think about this very much.
I mean,
they're all shitty.
No, they're not. We've just covered most of the shit.
Okay, well, the ones I know about are pretty
Celestia
shit.
Celestia is nice. We've covered that one. It's very nice. It's very beautiful.
It sounds big, and like I have to walk a lot, though.
I mean, you could probably get an angel to cast fly on you, and now you can fly.
Hey, I'm so tired. Help. Poor soul. Can't walk up the hill. Poof.
All right, well, I'd go to Arvander because it sounds cool.
Okay. Man, where would I go? Gaping Maw, baby.
Oh, yeah, it's got to be the Gaping Maw. What was I thinking?
Shout out to Demogorgon.
Shout out to Demogorgon. All right, we got one more before the break. This is a fun one.
Oh, man, I wanted to go out on a shout out to Demogorgon. Oh, it's fine.
Let's take a short rest.
No, let's finish it.
So next up, we have a fun one, the armor of fungal spores. So a perfect armor for your spore druid or perhaps your homebrewed Mykonin playable race.
Okay.
Or maybe just your gross fungal-friendly PC. What lore do you need for this one? It's an armor set covered in mushrooms and various fungi. These fungi can emit poisonous spores.
Yeah. Myconids.
Tell me about the armor, Brian.
Okay, I'm going to tell you about the armor, Will. It looks gross.
It does have to be medium armor, which, again, is geared towards druids.
Okay. Yeah, armor druids can wear. It's made of mushrooms. While wearing this armor, you can take a bonus action to make the armor emit poisonous spores, which fill a 10-foot radius sphere centered on yourself. Each creature in that area must succeed on a DC 15 constitution saving throw or have the poisoned condition until the end of the next turn. Once this property is used, it can't be used again until the next dawn. Mm. You could put this on hide, chain shirt, scale mail, breastplate, half plate, spiked armor.
The next dawn thing kind of sucks because it's a 10-foot radius. You know, if it's one creature, it might succeed, and then what, you know?
That's true. If you're getting mobbed, though, and you can get, like, 3 out of 4 dudes or something like that, then they all have disadvantage on their attack rolls against you.
That's true, if you pick your spot. But also, like, I don't know. I would do it per short rest.
Mm.
Just in case, you know? That way, you can do it twice a day.
Why don't you get poisoned?
Because it's your
armor. Oh, you do?
Oh, you do?
Each creature in that area. That includes you.
It does include you. This is a bad item.
Well, I would, in character, try to gain some sort of resistance to this particular poison.
Right.
I'm going to go in the woods and pop my armor, guys. Don't come over there.
I got to build it up. Yeah, that works for me. I'd allow it.
I have a bad joke.
Why does Jeff keep going to the forest to do drugs?
No, he's masturbating.
Oh, sure. God, okay.
Just tell us you're going to go do that, Jeff. You don't have to take your armor with you, man.
It's short rest time.
All right.
It's the grand adventures of Ilion and Bean.
Oh! Oh, by the gods,
what's
here?
Oh, no!
A cyclone!
Ilion, I have the shards! I have it!
Yes! Yes!
I'm holding on!
Oh, God! Oh!
I'm scared!
There's no earthly way of knowing which direction we are going!
Yes, that's true!
Is it raining? Is it... Is it raining? Is it snowing?
It's doing both.
Is a hurricane blowing?
It feels like it.
Not a speck of light is showing. So the danger must be growing.
You're scaring me, alien.
Oh, the fires of hell are glowing. Is the grizzly reaper growing?
There's a centipede crawling in the tornado.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify is there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify is great. They're taking businesses of all sizes, cradling them in their arms, to help them grow by giving them the tools they need. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S., and Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success at every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/dungeoncast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/dungeoncast now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/dungeoncast.
As a podcast network, our first priority has always been audio and the stories we're able to share with you. But we also sell merch, and organizing that was made both possible and easy with Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell and grow at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. They have an all-in-one e-commerce platform and in-person POS system, so wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. With the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers. Shopify has allowed us to share something tangible with the podcast community we've built here, selling our beanies, sweatshirts, and mugs to fans of our shows without taking up too much time from all the other work we do to bring you even more great content. And it's not just us. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. Shopify is also the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/realm, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/REALM now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/realm.
We've returned.
Indeed we have.
We're fucking back.
Indeed we are.
For the last time.
This year.
This year. If you want to help sponsor Alien and Beeren, you can do so by going to patreon.com/thedungeoncast.
You can.
Things there will be shifting soon. New items. Things like that. Things our yearly stuff is happening over there. Mm-hmm, so, I do want to talk a little bit about the Hasbro thing on
episodes. Because we did talk about it on the Patreon episode.
So we have exclusive Patreon episodes called the Dungeon Chats, where we just kind of like do a media recommendation or whatever, or like tell you guys what we've been up to.
Yeah.
And just have a simple talk. But we did at the end of the one for this recording batch, we did talk about Hasbro's recent layoffs at Wizards of the Coast, which seems ill-timed considering like the success the game has had this year. And
yeah.
The company in that regard anyway, Willis kind of informed me about like its other detrimental stuff that's been happening at Hasbro and their other facets of business.
Yep.
Not my business, it's their business. But we kind of, when the OGL thing happened, decided to sort of like restructure this show to be not just D&D exclusive and especially not 5e current stuff exclusive. This episode has some stuff in there and we do like go get that stuff. But otherwise, beyond that, we did not support Hasbro and like what they're doing. But like, we still respect this game and the history and culture it has, and we're going to continue to cover D&D content because of that.
Yeah, and I think it's we both agree like there is a difference between the brand of D&D and the game.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Hasbro may own the brand, but the game is what happens at your table and what's been happening at millions of people's tables for 50 plus years now, and they don't own that. And they never will.
Yeah, it's still a really good gateway drug to get people into tabletop.
That too.
And there's lots of other really great simple options out there that are free and like there are a ton of great resources. And then there's obviously stuff like Paizao and Pathfinder.
Mm-hmm.
We highly recommend that stuff.
Yes.
We highly recommend you vote with your dollars also. And if you're upset with Hasbro, like let them know.
Indeed.
Yeah.
Agreed.
And we just we're not going to do an episode on it. Which we also said on Patreon. Yeah. So we did want to like kind of bring it up. Sorry for that little bit of a downturn here.
No, it's okay. I actually want to add one thing to it. I think some people might have noted that a lot of the items on this list, especially some of the ones that we're going to get into moving forward, are on the newest book that just got released.
Yeah.
I typed up this script like 3 or 4 weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, I didn't have time to make another one. So this is what we're doing. Just because you are hearing us cover it doesn't mean don't feel obliged to go buy these books. You know,
yeah.
If it, you know, you're feeling conflicted about it.
You know, jot down a couple notes about the item real quick.
Like
Google it. You know, it's out there.
Yeah.
You don't have to go buy the books or to play D&D.
Or use these items as inspiration for homebrew versions.
Write your own. Yeah. The game is made for that.
Indeed.
And you can there's lots of great third party stuff out there. Please go check it out if you're upset.
I think I told you that's the way. I almost use pretty much exclusively third-party monster stat blocks, even if I'm using a not third-party monster, just because they tend to be better.
I pretty much write all my own monster stat blocks.
I
base it off of something at this point, but like pretty much just kind of tweak everything because balancing my game is more important than whatever they shit out into the monster manual because it's always never right.
Yeah, it's
like,
never
for
what
I'm doing.
Yeah, it doesn't fit your thing. All right, let's get back to it. We're going back in time with this one, Brian. We're going to cover the prehistoric figurines of wondrous power.
They've been in some guy's basement for decades. He's finally gonna sell them.
So you know what's cooler than summoning elephants and lions to fight at your side?
I don't know.
Summoning fucking dinosaurs to fight at your side.
That is pretty fucking cool.
Well, now you can with the prehistoric figures of wondrous power. Larger and more roughly hewn than typical figurines of wondrous power, these statuettes depict dinosaurs and related creatures from the earliest days of the world. There are 4 of these bad boys available in Bigby Presents Glory of the Giants. The Plesiosaurus, the Pterodon, the Triceratops, and of course, the Tyrannosaurus Rex.
Which one of those is your favorite?
Ooh, I do like all 4 of these a lot. I'm going to go with the Plesiosaur, but Triceratops is also up there.
Okay, I'm also going with the Plesiosaur,
yeah.
But it's because of how polite it is. Ha ha, got him. Let me go to this stat block.
Indeed, please do.
So, you read that part in the notes. As an action, you can throw a prehistoric figurine of wondrous power to a point on the ground within 60 feet of yourself while speaking a command word. And the command word is dinosaur. Whereupon the figurine magically transforms into a living creature. If the space where the creature would appear is occupied by other creatures or objects, or if there isn't enough space for the creature, the figurine doesn't become a creature, because that would be horrifying. The creature is friendly to you and your companions. It understands your languages and obeys your spoken commands. If you issue no commands, the creature defends itself but takes no other actions. See the monster manual for the creature statistics, or don't make them up yourself like we were just saying. The creature exists for a duration specific to each figurine. At the end of the duration, the creature reverts to its statuette form. It reverts to a figurine early if it drops to 0 HP, or if you use an action to speak the command word again while touching it. When the creature becomes a figurine again, its property can't be used again until a certain amount of time has passed, as specified in the figurine's description. Carnelian Triceratops, very rare. This figurine becomes a Triceratops for up to 6 hours and can't be ridden as a mount. It can't be used again until 10 days of fast. Sorry, I read can't be ridden as a mount, but it can, and that's awesome. I was like, why not?
Yeah, I had a four.
I'll get on what I want.
I had a 4E barbarian that had a, in 4E, they weren't called dinosaurs. They're called behemoths.
Oh, so sick. Like,
instead of a Triceratops, it was a trihorn behemoth, but it was a Triceratops.
Yeah.
And as a mount, it was great.
Yeah, the reason they specify can be ridden as a mount is likely because there's rules for mounted.
Yes, there are. There are mounted rules. Although 5E, I'm pretty sure, is really scant rules around
mounted. Yeah, but it is in there.
It is in there.
Mounted combat's a thing. I think it's like a paragraph.
Yeah.
Tops. Yeah. I could be wrong. I haven't looked at it in a while. Jasper, Tyrannosaurus Rex, legendary. This figurine, crafted from a rare green jasper, becomes a Tyrannosaurus Rex for up to 1 hour. Is jasper like a stone?
It is a stone, yes.
Okay, yeah. Once it has been used, it can't be used again until... I'm not a fucking miner.
I'm not a goddamn geologist.
Yeah, I was like, who the hell is Jasper? I haven't heard this fictional character. Once it has been used, it can't be used again until 14 days have passed.
Here is a picture of Jasper. It is not a man, but a red and black rock.
Ah, cool. I've seen those in the pile of rocks at the gift shop at the end of the museum.
Yep.
Did I read this part? Whenever you command the figurine while it is in T-Rex form, including commanding it to revert to figurine form, you must roll a d20. On a 1, you lose control of the figurine and it becomes hostile to you and your companions until it is reduced to 0 hit points, at which point it reverts to figurine form. Luckily, you can just get in your Jeep and drive as fast as you can. Every time I've seen a T-Rex attack somebody, that's what they do, and it works.
I mean, you're not supposed to move. Isn't that the rule?
Well, like, yeah.
T-Rex is challenge rating 8, so that sucks. So you just, now you have a challenge rating 8 creature to fight.
What's the passive perception on a T-Rex?
Plus 4.
So. It should be a 0.
Stupid.
Me and your special guest Jake call it T-Rexing people. I know. I've heard you guys. Did we say that in Super Quest Saga?
I think you did.
Let's T-Rex this motherfucker.
We're just going to T-Rex this shit.
One time we T-Rexed his. We were like hanging out in my truck in his driveway, and he was like staying with his grandma, and she came out to take the trash, and we just sat there frozen, like completely still. Truck wasn't on or anything. Mm-hmm. She just like walked by us, took out the trash. She like didn't see us. It's like, dude, we just T-Rexed your grandma. That shit was funny as fuck. We like died laughing. I'm gonna roll a d20 now. I'm controlling my dinosaur.
Indeed, you are. With I got a 6. Nice.
We got the Kyanite Pteranodon, which is rare. This figurine becomes a Pteranodon for up to 8 hours. If your size is medium or smaller, you can ride the Pteranodon as a mount. Once it has been used, it can't be used again until 7 days have passed. And then the Pyrite Plesiosaurus Uncommon. This figure becomes a Plesiosaurus for up to 12 hours and can be ridden as a mount. Once it has been used, it can't be used again until 4 days have passed. While you are riding the Plesiosaurus, you can use it to cast Water Breathing at will.
Wow. Okay, cool. It's a magic Plesiosaurus.
As long as you use your manners.
Yeah, absolutely. I love it.
Yeah, it's pretty sick, actually.
It's really cool.
So it sucks the most, but out of the four, but you do get to water breathe, which kind of,
and you get a
perks
friend
it up a little. Yeah, you get a really polite dinosaur to hang out with.
All right, anything you want to add about the prehistoric figurines of wondrous power?
Images of these are also pretty cool.
Yeah,
they look like something you'd buy at like a gift shop.
Yeah, at the end of a museum.
They're not something I would want to buy. Something I would enjoy seeing at the gift shop on my way out and be like, cool. Now that I've seen them, I don't have to go buy one.
Right. Exactly. Are you ready to move on?
I'm ready.
All right. Belashira's Beholder Crown is next. Mm-hmm. For this one, we venture to the setting of Eberron. This symbiotic crown is carved from dark purple and mauve stone with 10 points like stalks set with gemstones resembling the eye stalks of a beholder. To attune to this item, you must wear it on your head for the entire attunement period, during which the crown's hidden tendrils burrow into your scalp and bond with your skull.
Oh, God.
Belashira's Beholder Crown is a powerful symbiont created by the Delkeer, or the Delkeer. The Delkeer are extraplanar creatures that are native to the realm of Zoriat, who appear as preternaturally beautiful humanoids. Zoriat, called the Realm of Madness, is a plane beyond description. By merely visiting the plane, non-natives risk having their minds shattered at the sight of the chaos. Mm. Symbiotes are sentient organic items that are designed to attach themselves to hosts and be useful as weapons, tools, or armor for their hosts. Since the end of the Dalkeer War thousands of years ago, symbionts still remain scattered across Eberron. So you have to remember, Eberron has a completely different cosmology. They don't have the outer planes and all that other
right.
stuff.
Right. Shout out to Keith Baker.
Indeed. Shout out to Keith Baker. Fuck yeah.
So we got, it's a wondrous item. Legendary, requires attunement. Mm. Let's see, that part's good. While wearing the crown, you can see normally in darkness, both magical and non-magical.
Ooh, that's good.
To a distance of 120 feet.
That's good.
Your D&D that much harder.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, seeing through magical darkness is really fucking good.
The only
actually.
Way I can think to do it as a player normally is to be a warlock and take devil sight.
Or have a true sight spell, right?
Or that, yeah, yeah.
Or an item that has true sight, which... they're around, but like at this rate, you know, they're at the same rate as this item. So
yeah.
Spells. The crown has 10 charges. While wearing it, you can use an action to expend some of its charges to cast one of the following spells from it. Spell save DC 16, charm person, one charge, disintegrate, 6 charges, fear, 3 charges, finger of death, 7 charges. Flesh to stone, 6 charges, hold person, 2 charges. It's really cool if you cast hold person, then finger of death. Just a tip. Ray of Enfeeblement, 2 charges. Sleep, 1 charge. Slow, 3 charges. Telekinesis, 5 charges. Don't sleep on sleep. When it's good, it's good.
Sleep or slow?
Sleep.
Sleep on slow?
Slow is really good. Don't sleep on sleep. The spell sleep.
I don't know. So the HP pool is so small, though. It's a problem.
When it's good, it's good.
Yeah.
When it's bad, it's bad. But when
it is bad most of the time.
It's bad a lot. It's really good against mobs.
Yeah,
you just like at the very end of like, you know, 2 turns goes by and a lot of people have taken damage and you're like, fuck this, the fight's over.
Sleep. Okay, yeah, it's a good cleanup spell. I never
absolutely.
Really, yeah, absolutely.
And it's also really good on like, let me punch this dude. Let's everybody punch this guy in the face one time and then I'm going to hit him with a sleep.
Yeah, yeah.
That's also cool.
That is also cool.
The crown regains 1d6 plus 3 expended charges daily at dawn. My point is like a lot of people misuse sleep. They cast it and they're like, this spell is bad. It's just situational.
It is.
I've seen it be good. Symbiotic nature. The crown can't be removed from you while you're attuned to it, and you can't voluntarily end your attunement. You can't voluntarily end your attunement to it.
Nope.
If you're targeted by a spell that ends a curse, your attunement to the crown ends, and it detaches from you. Oh, is this thing?
It's a permanent evil? Attachment. Evil's a strong word.
Okay.
It's a symbiote, right? It's a symbiote. Like, it's attached. You can unattach it.
What's it getting from me?
I don't know. Life force? Maybe you have to eat more.
Ah,
that's the point of a symbiote. It's a give and take relationship.
That would be cool, actually, if I had to eat more, like because of it.
Yeah, you know? You're like, oh, this is win-win-win.
Oh, yeah, free food. Free calories.
Yeah, free food.
Sick.
Hell yeah.
Not free. True. You're going to spend more money on food.
That's like, true. There's a drawback where you have to cook way more.
But you get to eat more.
That's
which
true.
Eating's cool. I like
Bro.
Eating.
We talked about this on the Dungeon Chats. I'm hungry. Why are you doing this to me?
I'm so sorry.
It's okay.
I didn't talk about food specifically.
It's true.
It's in the lore, Will.
It's in the lore. Anything you want to add about the Beholder Crown?
Nah.
All right. We're going to get equally gross with the next one, the Earworm.
Okay.
So we're sticking around in Eberron for another strange magic item. An earworm is a symbiont that embeds itself in the head and skull of its host. In exchange, it provides its host with the ability to understand and speak deep speech and cast spells.
Oh, God. This one's evil adjacent as well. I mean, it is a beholder crown, right? Like, it's
aberrant. It's from Zoriat, the realm of madness.
It's not good.
No, it's not.
Likely not good.
It's not good.
I would implement
filthy
some
neutral.
You filthy ass neutral item. We got the earworm. It's wondrous and uncommon, requiring attunement.
Yeah.
All the things you said are here in this first paragraph. And then the spells. Earworm has 4 charges. You can cast the following spells from it, expending the necessary number of charges. Spell save DC 15. Detect thoughts, 2 charges. Or dissonant whispers, 1 charge. Each time you use the earworm to cast detect thoughts... spell, it sends the information gleaned to the nearest Dalkeer or to the next nearest earworm until it reaches a Dalkeer.
So it'd be cool to play a warlock with a Dalkeer as your patron.
Ooh.
Because then they would give you these fucked up items that you would have to use.
I got you guys all. Give these to your friends. There's four worms.
Yep.
Tell them to put them in their ears. Don't ask any questions.
The earworm regains 1d4 expended charges daily at dawn. It has a symbiotic nature, which means the earworm can't be removed from you while you're attuned to it, and you can't voluntarily end your attunement to it. If you're targeted by a spell that ends a curse, your attunement to the earworm ends and it exits your body. This is also a cool thing. God, just like
uncomfortable.
Wake up with a worm in your ear.
That's fucked up. Well, wait a minute. It has to attune, right? Like, so it can't.
Oh, you have to willingly do it?
I think so. That's how attunement works, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I guess it could just be in there and then there's nothing you do about it. And it's just, hey, attune with me.
Yeah, and then you can't cast the spell. Like, it doesn't give you the cool shit.
Yeah, it's just in there.
Somebody could probably be like,
but it's not attached.
You're in the Underdark, and someone's like, I got this cool thing you're going to want, because there's going to be some bullshit up ahead. You're going to want to know what they're saying, right? Mm-hmm. This will help you.
Yeah.
Also, you can do a magic. And then they just don't tell you the other part about the Delkir they worship.
Yeah. Or the fact that they're physically in you. You might just think you're hearing a voice. You know, like something is like.
Yeah, they could be like, just go to sleep. You'll wake up with powers.
Whispering to you. From inside.
That's probably some fucking, you find a fucking mind flayer, like a rogue one doing like solo mad scientist shit.
There we go.
Like,
yeah.
Hey, I can help you if you help me.
Right.
The only help I need is for you to take this bad boy off my hands and put it right in your ear.
Anything you want to add about the earworm?
There's some fun usage there.
I think it's a quirky item.
This is definitely evil.
Yeah, it's not good.
Delkir is evil, right?
They're not good. They're chaos. they're chaos incarnate. They're aberrations, right? So they're
Will's not willing to commit to what is good and evil right now. That's okay.
Demons are evil. Next up, we got the Topaz Annihilator.
All right.
Now we leave behind Eberron and find ourselves amongst Fizban and his dragons.
Fizban. Wait, does that count?
Yeah, it counts. I was hoping you would do it. That's why I didn't have to put Fizban in there.
Oh, okay.
But I did.
Usually I say it when you say the name of the book.
Fizban's Treasury of Dragons.
Fizban!
Strangely enough, it is here and not back in Eberron that we find a fantasy gun.
Oh, yes.
The Topaz Annihilator. And it's essentially a death ray.
Yeah, but it only annihilates Topaz, right?
No. This magic range weapon resembles a musket, but in lieu of any ammunition, it holds a glowing yellow scale from a topaz dragon in its heart.
It's just a really long fucking phase gun from fucking Star Wars or Star Trek or something.
Exactly. Tell me about the Topaz Annihilator.
Okay. Oh, dang. Hang on. Okay, there we go. It is a weapon, firearm, legendary, requires attunement. Sorry, when there's a default image for weapons, it does have the sword thing and not the submarine of Qualish, which is sad. This magic range weapon resembles a musket, but in lieu of any... Okay. The weapon has a normal range of 100 feet. Or,
don't do this to me.
God damn it. And a long range of 300 feet, and it has a two-handed property. It deals 2d6 necrotic damage on a hit. If this damage reduces a creature or an object to 0 HP, the target is reduced to dust? To dust, it says
to dust.
That.
To dust, it says.
To dust. A creature reduced to dust can be restored to life only by a true resurrection or wish spell. While this weapon is on your person, you can use an action to cast disintegrate spells, save DC 18. Once this property is used, it can't be used again until the next day. It's literally a fucking destructo ray.
Yeah, yeah.
That's
crazy. Death ray. Yeah, yeah. The disintegration spell or disintegrate spell is much stronger than this thing's basic attack. I was reading online. A lot of people were complaining about how this attack is kind of weak because it's a 2d6. Mm-hmm. Put this in the hands of your fighter though, and they get three of those bad boys.
That's
four
pretty
at a higher level. Well, you get extra attack of 5, and then you get your next one at 10, right? And then I think they get a fourth one at 15.
There, I'd have to look at that to be sure.
So
it's been
a
minute since
that kind of mitigates the weakness a little bit, but then again, if that fighter has a great sword, they're doing a lot more damage per hit. So
you should give your fighter something cool to play with.
Like a Topaz Annihilator.
Like a Topaz Annihilator. You'll like this.
That could be the ranged. You know?
I went down to the comment section of these, as I sometimes do.
Yes,
I found a lot of uninteresting things. Not to say that you guys are asking fine questions. It's just like one of these comments is finally. But a couple comments later says, this is my boomstick. And I know what that's from.
Yes,
so.
I do as well. Army of Darkness rocks. One of my favorite movies of all time.
Yes, we know. We all know. Well, new listeners might not know.
That's true.
Long-time listeners of the show will know that's definitely one of Will's all-time favorite movies.
It's one of my all-time favorite movies.
And I am on a media tear, and I haven't forgotten it, obviously.
Oh, you've never seen it?
Right. Yeah.
Oh, you must.
We've done this. We've done this. Please, calm down. I just said I would.
You got to watch it.
I got more time. We're going to make it.
Okay. All right. All right.
I'm sussing out all my anime right now. That's the thing I'm most behind on. Then it's movies.
Then it's movies. Gotcha.
It's Ghibli's, cool. And it's that stuff, and I'll probably rewatch Terminator.
Why not?
I fucking love Terminator 4 with Christian Bale.
It's so good, right? Like, it has no right being as good as it is.
I'm going to show you, but I have a signed picture of Christian Bale, John Connor, shooting a T-800 in the face.
You told me about this, yeah.
My mom brought it for me. She found it, and awesome. I have it here in the studio now. I'll show it to you later.
Yeah, please do.
Yeah. Don't let me forget.
Speaking of which, I think it's time for a long rest.
Okay. Hey, everybody, welcome to The Long Rest. This is the part of the show where we talk about how long this year has been. Did it feel long to you?
It's very long.
It was long.
It was very long for me.
Yeah.
The book has been very stressful, but rewarding. And I've actually taken a holiday hiatus, so coming into the new year, I'll be diving right back in and trying to finish this thing out before summer.
Yep, everybody deserves a break, so good job on knowing when to do that.
Yeah,
and
thank you.
Thank you, everybody, for... I saw some comments saying that they were like, oh, I missed the Kickstarter, I'm so sad. But we've got the backer kit, and
yes.
You can go buy a copy of Starseeker's Guide to Drakenstar with a link in the description below.
Indeed.
Mm-hmm. We got to do Ilian and Beeren after this, and then... What else do we have? It's the last episode of the year.
It is.
Long one.
Indeed.
And send us something to read in our P.O. box for next year. We'd really appreciate that if you guys sent like a postcard or a letter or something for us to pop off onto the show. Or something, you know, that'd be great.
Yeah, you guys send us anything, we'd be thrilled to see it, to read it, to have it. So thank you. At a time.
Yeah, I did. I set a goal for us to double our listenership at the beginning of the year, and we did. We did increase our outreach, and we had some good growth. Not what I wanted, but like still pretty solid.
Well, on
stuff.
Spotify, we had a 25% growth. I can't speak for the rest of.
Yeah, we definitely grew across the board. We didn't double the audience, but we hit a lot of big milestones this year. It's all thanks to you guys.
Yeah.
So thank you guys so much for participating, continuing to listen to the show. We've got a lot of people that have been on with us for a very long time. Dare I say, since the beginning. I'm sure there are many of you out there.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, let people know about the show. Tell people about us. Leave that Apple iTunes review, because all those things have helped the show to grow as much as it did. Yeah, and we're just gonna keep on going. Keep an eye out for the new artwork and the thumbnail. I think this is one of the last ones we're gonna do for like a big stretch. So we usually change it out once a year. So that's always a fun thing. We've got some new ideas for merch on the way. So we're looking to get back on the merch wagon and see what we can do there. Check out Patreon for special exclusive stuff that's coming out. Unhallowed is gonna be finished this year likely, so stuff will start releasing. And there's going to be lots of cool stuff on the way.
Yeah, I think we recorded like 16 episodes total of it.
We've got a lot in the tank right now. It's been fun.
Six more to go. So, yeah.
Yeah. So we will keep you guys updated about that. Just keep checking Patreon if you're a patron for polls and episode voting and early episodes and ad-free stuff. All that stuff is still there. Episode notes, characters that we've created are down there. All kinds of stuff. So thank you guys for such a great year. Really appreciate it. Had fun hitting 50K on YouTube subs. That was awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Keep an eye out for new YouTube projects that hopefully we can get rolling. Let us know your critiques, your positive, negative feedback, whatever it is. As long as it's constructive, we're happy to hear it. And keep the ball rolling, guys. Thanks a lot for hanging out with us and rolling dice. And we love you.
We do. We do love you. Thank you guys so much. Everything Brian said and more.
Yeah. We've got some cool... Me and Will have been on a lot of phone calls lately. We've got some really cool prospects for the next year coming up in terms of like sponsorships. That's like more of an us thing. But like, thanks for helping make that stuff possible. It really does like improve our lives to improve the show. And it's a really rewarding thing to see you guys like enjoying it and having fun.
Indeed.
And that's all I'll say about that. You want to do a social media run through real quick?
Yeah, you can follow us over on Instagram, on Twitter slash X, on Threads, and on Mastodon. I tend to post on all four of those platforms. And even more so, I would encourage you to check out our Discord, where a very awesome community exists and thrives, and me and Brian like to be a part of. So you can chat us up there. And yeah, I think that's all our social media platforms.
Yeah, I'm not going to do any YouTube comments or Apple iTunes reviews right now. I'm going to do Patreon episode is the start of the year, and that's next episode. And we're going to do Patreon shoutouts there. So the second episode of the year, you can expect some YouTube comments. I've seen people have a positive reaction to us reading them, which I think is great.
Yeah.
We like interacting with you guys. So yeah, expect probably we'll read the comments of like this episode or maybe the next episode, depending on like if the comments are rich, I will read them. So impress me. and thanks to everybody that hits that like and subscribe. It all counts. It all matters. And
yeah, it does. It seriously does.
Yeah, every little bit is great. Really flattered by people, you know, repping us on their Spotify Wrapped and all that stuff. That is awesome to see. The show's not possible without you guys. Or well, actually, it is. It's very possible without you guys because we started it without all of you. But it continues because of you.
It wouldn't have lasted very long without you.
Yes. Like it definitely wouldn't have gotten here without the attention it gets. So thanks. It's rewarding to have you all here, and we love having you guys here. So that's my end of the year spiel. We'll catch you guys next time.
Indeed. Let's call it a game.
Hello, friends. This is Mark Nell, executive producer of the Table Read podcast, where imagination meets performance. As we wrap up an incredible season one, we want to take a moment to express our heartfelt gratitude to each and every one of you who tuned in and supported us on this amazing journey. Season one was nothing short of extraordinary. We delved into captivating scripts that transported us to worlds beyond our imagination, thanks to the brilliant writers who delivered these works. But what really brought these stories to life were the talents of our amazing actors. But wait, the excitement doesn't end there. As we bid farewell to season one, we are thrilled to announce the launch of season two. Get ready for more gripping narratives, more unforgettable characters, and more mesmerizing performances that will keep you on the edge of your seat. We have some big surprises coming. The Force will definitely be with you. So stay tuned, stay engaged, and most importantly, stay excited. From all of us at the Table Read Podcast, thank you. And let's make season two even more memorable together.